Jill Kenton is with us, together with Russ Kane. Jill, who's never met Russ. Russ, who's never met Jill. And the only thing I just heard them say to each other, Jill to Russ, you're unusual, which I'm sure is a very good way to say. Why is he unusual?
Well, he just said, we're going to talk about shopping, okay? Yeah, and how women, you know, we spend hours thinking about what we're going to wear on Saturday night. Men can't be bothered, really. And they don't go shopping. I mean, my partner, Philip, he buys nothing. And you
I've
know,
seen it. You've just,
and you just said that you love to go and buy, I mean, do you buy a shirt a week or anything?
Oh, no, I don't buy clothes.
No.
Oh, I don't buy clothes
at all. So what were your relationship?
I'm talking about food shopping.
He was talking about food.
Oh, no, shopping.
Well, you've got
shopping.
To eat.
No.
We were talking about clothes.
Oh, clothes. No, I don't buy stuff.
Oh, there we go. No. See, yeah. There's
no.
My point.
No,
proven.
I don't.
Point
at all.
Proven.
Can't be bothered. Really can't be bothered.
And
that
just
stop
your partner
faff.
A little bit more. Just say what he does in the supermarket.
Oh, yes. Oh, this is a typical man thing.
Is he listening? I hope so.
No, he's actually in America at the moment.
Ah.
Basically, I'll go shopping in a lovely supermarket, and he will go to the magazine aisle, stand there for the full time I'm shopping. No help. He will come for about the bagging bit, maybe, and help me sort of throw...
So he's the unexpected item in the bagging area,
yeah,
is he?
Yeah, he's kind of unexpected, because you're absolutely right. And he will stand there and read every single magazine. Oh. But he won't buy one. He will read it there and not move.
The whole magazine?
The whole magazine.
Oh,
and not just one.
God,
go
you read
maybe
the adverts and like the classifieds?
No, not the classifieds. It's not
just
that
checking.
Bad.
I'm just checking.
No,
it's
Russ,
just,
it's not that
know, if it was
bad,
a car magazine, you know, if it was like classic cars and you go to the back, you might be looking at like...
As a woman, stuff. And I've watched blokes read car magazines, yeah. Okay, you really don't read. You just flick.
Yeah.
You don't
it's
read
very
it.
Dull.
That's not
you
true.
Just, no, come,
that's not true.
That's why he's unusual.
Yeah.
That's not true.
No, he's sitting there reading all the detail. You're not. You're just looking at the pictures of the cars.
It depends how...
Then the prices, and then you're mentally buying the Maseratis and the BMW
Sevens. No, not BMWs. But, the Mazas, absolutely. Yeah.
Mazas.
That would be great.
Muh to you, because you're so close.
Just a mm. Actually, I don't even say that, just mm. Yes, that would be lovely. I'd like that.
But I think women do too, but we don't actually read it. We just, I mean, when we sort of gaze over our partner's sort of, you know, magazine that's got cars in it, because we don't understand cars. I have no clue about cars. Don't get it at all. You know how we were talking about things on the way up, we're saying we don't understand certain areas of our life. That is one area of my life I don't understand.
Cars.
But you don't need to, in a way.
You got
I mean,
Phil.
It's the same
no,
way.
No, he doesn't get it either, cars.
Does
no,
he?
Not really, no. I mean, I'd take my car in for a service. I've just booked it in. And they said, how many thousand miles? Do you know how many miles you've done?
Yeah.
You do?
110,000.
Do you, Simon? Do you
no.
know? I have no clue.
What? Don't you look at the odometer
no.
right in front of your
the
face?
The odometer?
No.
I don't even call it an odometer. Let alone look at it.
I don't even know what it's called. You're right.
It's the thing with numbers on it, Jill. It's not too tricky.
No, I don't look at that.
No.
No.
Do you put petrol in your car?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Diesel.
Diesel, yeah, fine.
And I do look, I've learnt, actually, yeah. This is quite interesting. I never looked at the price of petrol, ever. And you know, obviously, it's been quite high.
No.
And it's just
apparently
dropped.
So, yes.
It's just dropped. All the supermarkets have dropped, which is quite nice.
Good.
And I've got this email that comes to me weekly. I don't know if you know. I don't know if I can say. I can't remember the name of it, actually. And it tells me
but
where's
it's petrol
the,
prices.
Yes,
yeah.
Where's the cheap... This is terrible. Where's the cheapest place to
what
go?
No, it's not terrible. Some no, of them are like, there's about 20p gallon difference,
yeah,
20p litre difference.
There really is if you go to a supermarket chain, and certain yeah. supermarket chains are cheaper. Anyway, I never thought about this until I met Philip. Philip has taught me how to look at petrol prices. I've never ever I used to just go where the next petrol station is. I've now learnt that you check the price first.
I do find it fascinating because there's this whole industry trying to make sure that we rid ourselves of the differential between men and women, and that we must, you know, welcome that men can do women's roles and women can do men's roles. But actually, in a sense, who wants to? If we said you've got to start taking an interest in the car. And you said to Philip, now you've got to start taking an interest in the cooking. I don't know what it is. I know that's really antediluvian and it's probably Victorian and possibly bordering on misogynistic, but it's almost the truth.
It is the truth.
It would frustrate you if you change roles, wouldn't it? Both of you.
Yeah, probably. But I mean, Philip runs his car on Terra Salata, so he saves himself a fortune.
Well, can I tell you another example of a thing that I can't do as well? Is there's things like Sky Television, you know, or different companies, and look at competing. Comparing prices of which is cheap. I have the patience of, I don't have any.
Do you go on those comparison sites?
No, that's a mat. I can't be doing that. No, well, Philip does that. I can't do it.
Philip's a busy guy. Philip, you know that he and I used to work together for many years.
I didn't.
In another
that's how
incarnation.
We met.
Right.
So
is he somebody I might know or not?
Philip Christikos.
Oh, yes, I know him.
Of course you do.
How do you know him?
think it's because there's only one.
Because I think there's only one.
Well, yes, there is only one.
There is only one. It's not a name you're going to say. No, is that Barry for Christmas? Or is Phil Christmas? So I have been mercilessly taking the Mickey out of him for I can't remember how long.
He's but a good guy.
He's a lovely. He's a sweet guy. He's a lovely guy. As it so happens.
I'm never know. He might be listening from Orlando.
He knows you're with me. He'd be listening.
Yeah, no,
he,
yeah, you're right.
You'll just
right.
be checking what you're saying about. Yeah. Look, we've got lots of things to say, to talk about this hour. We've started off on the program, obviously getting reaction on the Tia Sharp murder trial and the guilty plea of Stuart Hazel. We've talked about.
Can we ask
briefly,
you a question?
Yes?
Can we seriously? We were sitting outside and we were listening to the news. It's a serious question.
Yeah.
I know we've gone from frivolity to something absolutely terrible, terrible, horrible. Well, there's not enough words in anyone's vocabulary to get. I can't even get my head around it. But why do they say what was the phrase they used? They said that a man. Why do they suddenly say
yes.
a man?
Basically, the headlines are a man has been.
We were just listening to this.
And it does.
This
they don't say Stuart Hazel. The man is Stuart Hazel. They keep saying a man has been arrested for and been, you know...
A man changed his plea. Why don't they just
change his plea to guilty. A man. Why are they not titling it Stuart Hazel? His name is Stuart. Why is he a man?
We didn't understand it.
And it's in the papers as well.
We just thought, is it some sort of weird legality that you have to do?
No, I'll tell you why, probably. I don't know the reason, because I didn't write it or do it, but I would imagine it's to stop repeating his name in the same story three or four times. It'll be twice or three times the introduction,
maybe,
then there'll be a voice piece and a reporter who'll say, Stuart Hazel's here. How many times do you want to hear his name? I would imagine it's simply that.
Yes.
I'm sure it's just a syntax thing rather than anything else.
No, we were sitting outside. We thought, what if there's a sort of legal reason why you've got to do that? But no, you're probably absolutely right.
I'm sure it's simply that.
Yes. Horrific story.
I don't know where you want to go. But we should cover this shortly with you. I mean, one of the things we were talking about, whether you treat everybody who looks after your children with some degree of suspicion, and we've heard some people say, indeed, even people who've been through this, as you may have heard from our earlier guests, that takes away some of the joy of life. And in fact, Carol, who was a mother whose child had been abused by the child's father, so her former partner, she said she wouldn't treat everybody with suspicion. She said it takes the joy away from life. However, you can understand why some people.
Do you know? I've got a 14-year-old daughter now, and I've been through all the au pairs. I've been a single mum for many years, 8 years, and I had to rely on childcare. Getting childcare as a single mum with a child who is 8, 9, 10 years old is frightening. And this is going to sound really awful. I did stick to women. I think if I had a boy, I probably would have thought slightly differently. Mm. But because I had a little girl, I wouldn't have had a male au pair. And they were around. Mm. But, you know...
And for that reason?
Absolutely.
And had you intellectualised that reason, or was it just a sixth sense?
No. It just didn't feel right to have a male figure around my daughter when I was at work. It just didn't feel right. I mean, even when Rachel was growing up, I had nannies because I worked very, very hard, even when she was younger. There were always female nannies. There wouldn't have been a male nanny. And that sounds awful.
I don't think it sounds awful.
As a child, as a girl, I want her to be around women.
I don't think it sounds awful. And I think, you know, we spend so much of our time, don't we, always apologising for something. There is nothing more precious than your kids. Nothing. I mean, to me, the kids are like everything. Everything else takes 52nd place after that. And there's nothing more precious than that. And if that's your decision, that's what you want to do, I don't think you should have to apologise for that.
But even looking for an au pair, I only did that when she was older. Because childcare, you had to be very select. You didn't want just someone from another country coming in that you had no clue where they were coming from. And that is a big problem today.
Because
we don't have the money to go out and get, it's expensive childcare.
It's really scary. And over the years, I've had some horrific encounters. Absolutely. Funny enough, I talked about it yesterday over dinner. And it was just the people who are out there who come fully recommend it. I mean,
this is au pairs
nannies and stuff like that. Oh, wow.
I've had,
I mean, some of it,
stealing.
I don't even think I can actually... That would be fine. I could deal with that.
Oh,
some
I don't
of it,
know.
I'm not
it's
even
still
sure
not
I,
nice.
I'm not even sure even at this time or not I could deal with some of this, even discuss some of it. They were... And the point is... Well, that's me. That you go through all the right checks and balances and everything. And, you, I mean, like, one case that the mother had, you know, all of this stuff and everything was forged. And this kid, this woman who was meant to be... she turned out to be 15. What the hell? How could a mother send... I mean, obviously she was sent goodbye packing. It was a long time ago, but it was really scary. There's other stuff that was...
And also the hardest thing as well, because you're going through all of this process of getting a new au pair, a new nanny, whatever, it's the change for the child, which is awful, because every year, and then the child goes to you, where's Angela?
Because you want one that works, and you want one that can see it through to the duration.
You're constantly striving to get the one that's going to stay with you for 3 years and be Mary Poppins.
You've got two boys.
Yes.
And I wonder if you've got, I suppose, not the reverse, but a different view on it to Jill, on the basis that they're boys. Would it have been different for you about the sex of the...
No. I it's terribly old-fashioned, I suppose. It never crossed my mind to get a male in to do what I think is a...
It's different for boys, though.
Yeah, I think it's different. I think they... Well, you know, we had sort of strange circumstances, so we won't go into that now. But I think that there was it was necessary to have a female rather than a male. That was my view, and other people can take completely opposite.
We'd love to get some of your reactions, particularly a couple of specific thoughts. Do you treat everybody that looks after your children with suspicion? And just briefly, before we move on, do you think there's anything that can be done to prevent that type of crime?
I don't understand. Funny enough, we were talking about it.
I mean, I've been
sort of Facebooking about it and stuff like that. I honestly, and I'm about as liberal with a small L as you can possibly get, and I just don't understand it. I can't understand it. I don't know how to answer the questions.
I'm just going to interject here a little bit. Basically, let's look at Tia and the whole... This Stuart was dating the mother, left the mother for whatever reason, and then started dating the grandmother. It's just not normal behaviour.
No.
It isn't. So your question is, how can we stop this? We can't. How do you stop this? Because you just don't know. This man, did he have a criminal record before? I haven't looked at it. He had.
I don't know whether he served a sentence, but he certainly had accusations of violent conduct.
But he had no other.
Oh, he did have previous convictions for drug offences and violent conduct.
But you know, I'm not saying. But the thing is, it's not gone on to obviously what's happened with Tia. No. It's just horrific.
But then,
the reason why
I'm asking the question is because you there's only a few possibilities. One is that people are born that way. The other one is, and you'd hope that it's the second one, that it's a reaction of our society. So you could change society. If you're saying that people are, if there's nothing you could do, you're saying that you are born to be vicious and violent.
I think it's something. I think it's your upbringing, actually.
It could be.
I couldn't see my daughter suddenly going out in a pub brawl. I mean, I'm just saying because it's the way I've raised. Her to show her right from wrong, and the same with probably Russ.
I think. But what we're talking about though is this whole thing about children, and I feel so at sea with this. When you say, is there something we can do about it? Like 99.999 recurring people you would ask, they go, I don't understand this. It's horrific. And it's like sort of landing on a completely alien planet because I just can't, you know, I understand the mechanics, but I just don't understand why. And therefore, when you say, is it preventable? Jeez, I don't know. It's just so beyond the scope, I think, of any... decent. I'm sorry to say the word decent person, but I feel that way. It's not even unacceptable. It's just mind-blowingly appalling.
So is it up to us to understand or to think about or to analyse it, or is it just up to us to say, accept that this happens and then convict the people who are responsible?
But find the people who are responsible first and be merciless about it, to be perfectly honest. It's just inexcusable. There's no excuse. Inexcusable.
I mean, we never thought this would be the outcome. Let's think back. Was this August when she went missing? It was last year, wasn't it? It was the end of last summer. It was about last summer.
3rd of August.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, we would never... Because he was out there looking for Tia. We wouldn't have looked at him and gone, it was him. We didn't, did we? So, you know, we can't sort of say, yes, it was definitely him and let's try and stop it. We can't because we don't know.
We'll get more of your reaction. 0207 224 2000 is our number. You can also email simon@bbc.co.uk. Some emails and texts coming through, which we will do very soon. But I do want to move on before we get to the news at 5:30. Has Russ warned you, by the way, that the hour just flies by?
I know. I've done it before, so yeah. I know. It's 2 hours is nice. 2 hours is nice.
Well, we'll work on that one.
Yes.
Jill, can we talk about the benefits or otherwise of owning a dog?
Right.
Before Russ, because Russ will fill happily 2 hours.
I'll just sit back.
No,
I'll just have my tea. I'm just going to sit back and have my tea while Russ continues. No. The benefits of having a dog.
Thank you. Coffee gone everywhere.
I'm so sorry.
Well, listen, we're both dog owners, and I thought this was quite a nice story for us both to sort of touch on. I mean, I have a cockapoo who is a mixed... it's a very cute dog.
I know, they're lovely dogs, yeah.
It's a
name.
It's a mixed breed, but she's
Russ
very
in his eyes
cute.
Got, I'm really sorry to hear that, look.
I mean, it's a cockapoo, and I've got a Bichon.
Very
I know,
nice.
It's a very handbag dog. It's a little tiny, fluffy.
Yeah.
And I walk it every morning, and I also love walking it across, you know, in where I live in North London, Bentley Priory. It's a nice...
Walk through there? Because I've built a...
That's at the top.
Oh,
at
you
Stanmore.
Can still... Right.
Still
oh,
walk
good.
Through, and there's all the deer park on the right.
The Stanmore Common?
Yes.
Very
I mean,
lovely.
Do you know what? On a weekend, when the weather actually is sunny and gorgeous, not wet
don't
and horrible.
Breath.
Yeah, I know. It's lovely to take the dog, and you actually do feel... A bit of don't take your phone. You don't need to. You listen to Ooh. Books, don't you? Listen to because I've seen you on Facebook.
Yes,
you're always,
always
on
saying, thank it's you so just, much for the book.
Don't you should just you should just zone out and just really enjoy the dogs and also there's another thing that I love. Don't always. I work from home. I have a studio at home and I work from home, and I don't always see people all the time. And you go for a walk. Everyone says good morning.
Yeah, they do.
Hello,
you got a dog.
How nice is that?
But is there also a huge amount of stress? I mean, there's the stress of illness, there's the stress of losing your animal, there's the stress of just having another person in the family, thing in the person.
It
well,
is
so
a person.
You're happy to person.
It is a person.
That
Sorry,
you, that
person.
You that you become, dare I say, obsessed with. I mean, I've never seen any pictures of your family, but I've seen pictures of the dog.
Well, precisely so. You've got to get your priorities right. I adore my dog, absolutely.
I've seen the dog lying on the bed, I've seen the dog outside in the park. I mean, I've seen the dog in almost every part of London, but I've never seen a picture of the family.
That is so funny. You haven't seen my Facebook, let me tell you.
I am completely obsessed with my... In fact, I was in a meeting today and an American woman walked over and said, I can really see you love your dog. And I
Why
said,
she
like,
said, oh, because she think the dog's with
because
you.
The dog was... I'm in a meeting, the dog's on my lap because...
You took your dog to a meeting?
I take my dog to most meetings, and I tell you for why.
Because you can say, look, you made the dog unhappy now.
Do you know, look
That's
at
unusual.
That face. I'm asking for this, look at her face. And they go, you're right. No, because why? Because
you know, don't you think he's unusual?
Oh, well, I wouldn't say unusual.
What, taking a dog to a meeting? No,
yeah. Eccentric and charming, but
thank you very much.
What if he needs the toilet in the middle of the meeting?
Well,
him or her or him?
First, if I need the toilet, I'm so sorry, I must have a comfort break. Would you mind? No, because the dog's such a great icebreaker. You can go in and they go, And every girl goes, oh, and everyone, you know, and especially, you know, in the music business and everything, they love it. So she comes most places.
How old is she?
4.
Oh, she's still young. Because you were talking about death. And this is a very horrible thing. Have you lost a dog?
I have. I never got over it. You're absolutely right. The loss is just... I know if you're losing somebody, you think, oh, shut up. But if you're a dog lover and you've lost your dog, you'll get it. If you're
I had a Labrador who the Bichon replaced. You could never replace it. I mean, it's just no way. And she was 12. I mean, this dog literally, I never needed a lead. She just walked by my side, chocolate Labrador. This is going to sound really... Now, you know, I'm going to say something really creepy and you have to tell me if it is really creepy. I still have her in my living room.
Is
that really...
Well, it's a whacking great stuff.
Ashes. I've still got her, because I don't know where to put her. She was so close to me. Is that really awful?
I don't think it is. I think lots of people do that.
That would be disgusting.
No. I still got the ashes. But this dog, I swear, I think I cried, I would say, for a good 6 months to a year.
But in a sense, you use the right word to start with, replacement. The new dog is the replacement.
Yes, but I don't think you can. You try, but you never replace it, ever. And I still miss her, even
but
now.
Do you think that, in a sense, I mean, I'm sure I've seen you tweet about vet bills, Russ.
What, the last one?
Pushing in an open door. Here we go. But I just wonder, do you think that, however, I know that dogs bring you and Russ a huge amount of joy, but there are genuinely people that I worry about, and I'm sure when I meet and I see the two of you together and the two of you together, I will feel the same about the two of you, that I worry about future reactions when the time comes.
But
it's still a huge impact.
Yes, it is a huge impact, but that's the deal that you make. You've got, please God, the dog for 12, 14 years. Yeah. You'll have 12, 14, hopefully, fabulous years. If they start to get ill, it's all very nasty and horrible. But you know that. You know they're not going to live to their 50, 60, 70 years
old. Genuine question. Do you know, because only because you must have all been to vets throughout the dog's life and your own life, serious question, not with no hint of irony. Human beings have probably doubled the age at which we can live till. Why haven't dogs?
It's a very good question.
What do they tend to?
Because
they die of old. Generally, it's old age.
Yeah.
Whereas we were dying of heart attack, cancer, and so many diseases that you think finish us off, certainly when we, 100 years ago, we were dead by 42, 45. They have been eradicated through.
Do you give your dogs vitamins? Or
No.
So that could be a point. I mean, listen, I rattle in the morning. I take so many vitamins. And before I go, because I went to the gym this morning, took the dogs for a walk, I take my vitamins. I've got a pill box and I literally line them all up. Dogs don't take. Why are you looking like that?
No, I should.
Because you told Russ he's unusual.
Do you not take any vitamins or supplements?
I take so many.
Okay, so
it's
good.
It's ridiculous.
But that's why I think also we are looking after ourselves. We're not really. We love our dogs. We cuddle them. We feed them as best we can. I mean, you know, I stick to a general make of food from a supermarket. They tell us not to. They say we should buy it fresh or make it fresh. I don't know if you go that far, do
no,
you?
No, I haven't got time and I haven't got the patience.
Yes, no, I don't have the patience. So our dogs are not fed how I think that they should be maybe looked after with the vitamins. You can do it, but it's so expensive.
Do you
expensive.
Feel guilty of the way the dog sits and eats?
What, on the floor? No.
What would you like me to do? Well, don't tempt me. Don't tempt me. I have a feeling that you've already imagined it. Table for two, sir. Ruff.
The thing about it is, she's such great company.
Does she talk?
Of course she does.
Of course she talks.
She sits and listens with great...
It is ridiculous, because I hear this.
Dabbing is.
Because she says... She's not going to answer you back. What are you doing? You're having a whole conversation. She's not going to talk back to you. I go, she understands everything we're saying. So just, she does.
When you go on holiday, Russ, where does your dog go?
With us.
No, when you fly and you can't take the dog.
If it's the serious answer to your question, if we're going to the UK, I'll go somewhere that takes the dog, because...
What about if you're going to somewhere far afield?
If I go, then she'll go to the dog sitters.
Oh, a sitter. So you won't put her in a kennel?
No.
Okay, have you heard about these new boarding houses in Essex?
No, I'm hearing the word Essex and boarding houses. I'm already nervous.
There's about five of them. I can't remember the name. I can't really say the names. And I went out for dinner with a girl who owns one. This is going to make you laugh. Actually, it's hilarious. You take your dog there. They have their own little kennel, but it's all padded out like a room.
No.
There's a cam. There's a webcam. You can call in to look at your dog while you are on holiday through this webcam into this kennel. And you can talk to it while you're far afield. Let's say you're
in
Florida.
Could you put your kids there? Because this could be money-saving. This would be great. How are you doing? You're in America.
Put the kids in the kennel. The dog will go with you
on
the plane.
Guess how much it is a night?
I'd imagine it's about 50.
No, it's 30 quid a night. It's not mad. You've got two dogs. It's 60 quid a night.
Let's share a room.
No, but still, it's 30 quid a dog.
I like the way you think.
Yes.
Well, why not? Suddenly got puppies and the whole thing could work out. You can sell them.
0207 224 2000. Love to hear more and get some reaction from you on that. Regarding the Stuart Hazel case, this is Aidan who says, child abusers don't see anything wrong with what they do. Watch the Louis Theroux documentary. He talks to serial child abusers in the US. This is on the Twitter from Mark, who says, this is Mark in Bletchley, who says, good to hear the word odometer. He says, I actually use that one along with tachometer. What's a tachometer, for those who don't know?
Tachometer shows how many...
How long you've been driving, is it? How many hours? Is the trucks, the trucks in, have
in
a,
the truck,
a tach-
isn't it? How long, been, how long you've been at the wheel? Mark, help.
Somebody must
something
know.
Like that.
Come on.
No one knows, and
no
I
one
don't
knows.
Look at me.
Tachometer.
I look at confused
can't you
out there.
Google here.
I thought Mel would know. Mel told me off for asking him on Thursday if another man was good looking, and clearly I was pushing an open door because I didn't even know what a tachometer is. But what are you bringing that up for? It's just coming up to 11:30. It's Simon Lederman on BBC London 94.9. Jill Kenton and also Russ Kane going through the papers and reviewing the day. We'd love to get some more of your reaction as well. 0207 224 2000 is a number. It's exactly 11:30.
This is BBC London 94.9.
Late Nights with Simon Lederman.
Monday to Thursday nights from 10.
Simon Lederman, BBC London 94.9. Russ has got his head in his head. Russ, you've got another half hour to go, so don't get too...
That went so quick.
I know.
Can't we do another hour or so?
We could all go. Russ, Mel and I could go. Yes, hello, Mel. Yes, Mel and I could...
Well, there you go.
We go and get a pizza waiter. Ian, who's on the M25, says... Is that a trachometer or tachometer?
Tachometer.
Or you just wrote that. Yeah, tachometer records how long you've been driving and the distance that you've travelled.
Oh, that's right.
And because I remember years ago, who did I used to know? Why on earth would I? So I used to know somebody who drove a truck, and you'd have all these. You'd go to his place, and he'd just have all these paper circular discs that he'd have, and he'd say, "I've got to file these, and I've got to fill in a report." And I imagine now it's all electronic and gets beamed up to Europe, and they send a note back saying, "Well done, you've done."
To me, it's double dutch. It's total double dutch. I don't get any. Like I said to you, they called me up. I didn't even look to know how many miles I've done in my car. I had no idea.
Well, it's not too tricky, is it?
No, it's not tricky, but you don't look. As a woman, and maybe, I don't know, some blokes as well, Simon.
No.
Do you look?
I don't. Whenever I get a hire car, I don't even know what the car is. They say, "Which car have you got?" And I said, "The black one." Which is it? Now I do know, because I've had some very grim cars, and I'll say, I do not want the whatever it means.
Well, so this is hire.
Hire car. Whenever I get a hire car. Oh, yeah. And once I got given a hire car, imagine this scenario. You get given a hire car, you drive halfway up the country with it, you spend one night in a hotel, you watch Watchdog, and you find out that this car spontaneously combusts. And they
is this a true story?
Yes, this is a true story. And the manufacturers say that we mustn't, you know, we don't agree. But they've got people upon case study whose car has something has blown in it. The engine's caught fire. There's something. So on the way back down, I've never had a blowout on the motorway before. The back, wheel take out. And I just thought, I never take those cars now. I won't say what it is, could be unfair, because I don't know if it has been proven. But they
blew up on the motorway.
Well, the rear tyre. What I was promised from Watchdog was that the engine would explode.
You've lost control. The whole car
I did lose control, I did lose control. Once the rear axle went...
What?
I had a British car. It was an Ambassador, and I can say that now because I imagine they don't make them anymore.
An Ambassador?
Yeah.
Ambassador.
Yes. So I don't know. What's that? Sorry, I'm being really silly.
A very kind friend of mine said that in a certain light it could be mistaken for a Porsche, but he was
in a
very
certain light it could be mistaken for a car. That's how bad it was.
I'm sorry.
Well, in the great days of the Austin Allegro, genius square steering wheel. That's a marketing.
It was the subsequent car to the Princess. Do you remember the Princess?
Yes.
Yeah.
Terrible. It was a period of just horrible cars.
And that nearly killed me.
Horrible.
That car.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
At junction of the M6 and the M1, the rear axle went, and you know those very strange things? You think someone is looking after you. The man from the AA turned up, had a look, and said, "Well, look, there's something happened, but I think it's going to be okay." He said, "Follow me for a junction, and if it's okay, flash your lights," and I did, and it was fine. We got to Northampton and he went away. I got back to where I was living in Northwest London. I dropped the car at home. I went out for the night, and that car never moved again. When I tried to reverse it out the drive, it had all gone. So I think someone was looking after me that day. Having said that, we're silly, clearly not being looked after when the family decided to purchase an Ambassador. But
you nervous to drive another vehicle, and you always sort of question what car you're getting into, and you sort of get
No, because I think you can tell. I think, like people, you get a feel of what the car is doing, and you think, this car's built appallingly.
Yeah, but how do you know? Let's say you go and buy one of these secondhand cars from can't mention the name. Know where I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And you go down there and they say, "This is this great deal. It's £8,000. It's a BMW with two owners." How do you know? You bought
Do you know what? I'd get somebody to, because there are companies now, you buy them, and they're particularly like breakdown.
Yeah, but even then, but look, you know what happened to you. You still have a little bit of an insecurity.
And also, I'd ask Dr. Google, because there are people who eulogise over certain brands of cars. And certain, it's also the year of manufacturer, the Yom, as they call it. It's the Yom. You've got to check the Yom. And
the Yom.
For those of
it's
the
all
Jewish
terms,
faith,
I don't know.
Don't follow it up with Kippur. It's actually the year of manufacturing.
I was just thinking of the gag. You beat me to it.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Anyway, look, let's move on. Russ, can we talk about... Yes. I've got my own view on this, which I'll give you a bit later, but lavish weddings that could possibly be quite short.
Here we go. So this is an article that caught my eye, especially after the Keira Knightley marrying the guy from the Klaxons. And it says, how a lavish wedding could lead to divorce and why doing it Keira style, now known as Keira style, I'd just call it cheap, is more likely to mean lasting happiness. So what they did is they did this whole research thing. 8 in 10 couples who divorce within 5 years cite high wedding costs. See, I've never understood it. Never got that. Then young newlyweds regularly spend, oh my God, over £30,000 on nuptials. It's insane. Family lawyer praised actress Keira Knightley's low-key affair as good example. None of your business. Mind your own business, that's what I say. But I don't understand this huge thing of spending an absolute fortune and then getting off your happy married bliss down a path strewn with rose petals with such a huge financial burden straight away. I don't.
No, I think it's wonderful. I'm a woman, though, aren't I? Because I mean, we want that, don't we? I mean,
do you remember that line from Friends where they're all talking about the wedding of Ross to Rachel, and they say to Ross, you know, what is it? Is this real life? He said, yeah, I've been thinking of. Oh, it was to Emily, first one. I've been thinking about this wedding all year, and they said, but she's been dreaming of this wedding since she was a little girl.
Mm. Yes, but it's true. As a woman, as a girl, we all dreamt of having this white dress and this gorgeous Rolls Royce picking us up.
Did you?
Yes, we did. Okay. I did. Okay. Sorry, but I must admit, I got married in America. I lived in New York for 10 years, so I got married in a very different way, and it wasn't such a mad, crazy, lavish wedding. Unfortunately, it did end in divorce. But so I actually don't tend to agree with this article at all. But anyway, but I did dream of having that. You know, I wanted to have the white dress. I wanted to have the car bring me up, and it was like that. But you know what? At the end of the day, that's what we want. Guys don't. They want.
Do you believe
that?
Well, there is a problem.
They don't lumber us all with they want the stag do. No. Just don't want to have 30,000 quid for a couple of hours for people you're never going to see again. Mm. That's the point. Oh, look, there's Auntie Doreen. I haven't seen you ever. Hi.
You invited her, so it's your...
But suppose if I didn't. It's one of those...
They don't just show up.
I don't have an Auntie Doreen, right? But I'm just making this up. They say, you've got to invite Auntie Doreen. Why? Because otherwise Auntie Sybil will be upset. Who cares?
That's very true, actually, because the biggest amount of arguments I remember, you know, is the guest list. You've said I do, you know, you want to say I do, you want to get it all together. It's getting the guests, because you have so many people that, on one side, and you're right, Auntie Doreen might be someone that they don't want because she's annoyed us somewhere down the line. Who knows?
1945, they never got over the thing. I had a phone call. I don't want to mention any names, so just for the sake of convenience, call her my cousin Jane.
Hello, Jane, if you're listening. Yes. I'm sure from London, I don't believe that's a made-up name.
No, oddly enough, funnily it is. Let's just say she lived in London Coney, as a supposition, Jane. And she said, oh, hello! And I said, what? And she's really like my sister. And she says, I don't have a sister, but if I had one, she'd probably be like her, God help us all. And she said, I don't suppose you do me a favour, so I went through this. There's an event coming up in June. And they said, could you sort out... Why did I say yes? The table plan. I said, well, why can't you sort out the table plan? You know, you're a smart person. That was a lie, Jane, obviously. And she said, because I'll put people who can't stand each other next to each other. I said, fine, I will do the table plan. Because when she said, I put so-and-so next to so-and-so, I said, they had a really acrimonious divorce. How can you have them at this event sitting next to each other for several hours?
It is hard. That's
yeah,
the
I mean, you're walking a little bit of a social minefield there.
Can I ask you about your dreams of a wedding? Because when you have that dream, is it a fantasy dream, or is it? Do you believe that wedding is part of reality? Wedding is celebrating.
Asking me back then, or you're asking me now?
Well,
like right this minute.
No. Let's talk about when you were thinking about it. Did you think that this is actually all reality? So the wedding, however wonderful, it is still reality. It's not this myth of what is it they say about marriage or love? It's too.
It's
like-minded individuals fooling themselves.
What they say is marriage is really like a pack of cards, because when you start up,
oh gosh,
like a box of chocolates.
No,
actually,
marriage is like a pack you never know what you're going to get.
Well, isn't
that true? I always say that's the most stupid thing ever. Just read it; it's on the inside of the lid, you dummy. It says exactly what you're going to get. Marriage is like a pack of cards. When you start off, you have a heart and a diamond, and after a while, all you wish for is a club and a spade.
Yeah. That's very good, Russ.
That is very good.
That's really good.
Yeah, that's very sweet of you.
No, but yes, I mean, I did idolise the fact... Well, I did a dream of this amazing, beautiful white wedding, like I said before, with the Rolls Royce and everything else. But you know what? The day goes so quickly. As a bride, you don't remember the minute you get into the car and the minute you walk down the aisle and you've said, I do. It all goes so quickly. You're right, the guests enjoy it more than you do because it's just so quick. I mean, I got married when I was 25. I was very young. And I'm now, like I said, divorced. I'm engaged now to Philip. And
does he know?
What?
You're engaged?
Yeah.
Okay, just
I think
checking.
He did go down one knee.
Could have been a shock.
But we're not rushing to get married, actually. I'm quite happy the way things are. Mm.
So, but it hasn't jaded you. Your experiences before hasn't jaded you.
Which part, the divorce or the marriage?
Well, let's go the whole thing.
Yes, no, it's holding me back a bit. I will admit it. Yes, it's holding me back because I think, you know, I've been there. He hasn't, so he's never been married before. I love the partnership. I love the companionship that I have now. I'm older. It's the second chapter of my life. And I'm enjoying what I've got. Why do we need to have a piece of paper that says that we said we do? We do in our relationship.
But isn't that so? But that you've totally changed then, haven't you?
Yes. That's why I said to you, is it, do you, what are you talking about now or before?
Because one of the things that people talk about, and I thought this is very, very intellectually clever what they said, is marriage is a bet. And in most cases, you don't celebrate placing the bet, which is the reception. You celebrate when the bet pays off. So when you're marking your 10th anniversary or 25th anniversary, so actually the marriage itself should be very low key. And you celebrate if it actually works.
That's a very, I've never thought of that. That's a lovely way of putting it. I've never thought of that.
Lovely way of putting it. You try and convincing a fiance to be that. That's no, the way they to won't. Be. I'll look forward to that.
No, they're just, you know, they're just stabby. But
what is this with clubs and spades and stabbings now? We're mentioning love and look where he goes.
Darling, I've just said, let's have a low key wedding.
A very dark part of his chest.
I think elope to Las Vegas. Why not?
Yes.
Easy and quick.
That'd be great.
And
go to the Elvis Chapel and have a laugh.
Yeah, why not?
You see, the thing is, you're right. And if there's just the two of you involved, fabulous. Because if you want to get this piece of paper, go to Vegas, have a laugh. Great. But then everybody else doesn't get involved.
Exactly. I think when you're younger, like I said, I got married at 25. And
too young or not? Because that's actually young. Not too. But no, that's not considered. I mean, 21, 22. But 25, you've been through the teenage years.
I got engaged at 22. Still very, very young. But what I was going to say is it was easy. It wasn't so political with the family members then. I think as you get older, I think it gets harder with the guests. Doing the guests, doing the table plan, it's harder. There's a lot more, you know, family rifts going on.
You should be more in control because, in a sense, you're older and it's your wedding and it's your day.
Yeah, but you don't like to upset people. You don't know whether to ask Auntie Doreen when you don't want to ask Uncle Paul.
But you know the problem with that? Even if you don't want to upset people or you go out to upset people, it ends in the same way. You upset people. So you actually might as well just do what you want.
I know, but I don't... I don't like to upset. I like everyone happy.
Yeah, but you will never...
Everyone happy. I love it.
But it's your day. Not really, no.
That's
again, why are you spending the money? Because it turns out to not be your day at all.
Everyone else is drinking the champagne, but you.
Having a
you don't have
time
a glass.
And
you don't have time.
A free bar would be my immediate thought of that. Just bring a bottle. Write these down, Russ.
Brilliant.
Because if ever you, because logically you think, because are the boys married?
Pardon?
Are the boys, they're too young to be married, aren't
they? They're 14, I hope they're not married.
Right.
Logically,
you'd probably hope that it's not going to come to you to pay for it, but when it does...
Yeah.
Bring a bottle will be
this
on the top
be,
of your...
This, maybe we could just do a drive-through at KFC
can
or something.
Can you imagine that on a wedding invitation? Just don't forget, bring a bottle, everyone.
I've been to weddings. Yeah, but I think you've been in different social circles than I, because when I was working away, I was very luckily brought up. Every function I went to from the age of zero till about the age of 25 was a free bar. Every single one, whatever it was for, be it through work, be it through family, weddings, bar mitzvahs, and mainly funerals, actually. Everything was a free bar.
I did that for my daughter's bat mitzvah to a year
free
and a half
bar?
Ago.
Yeah. Free bar? For the kids?
It was, and I won't even tell you where I did it. It was the most unbelievable. I'll never do it again, ever. It was the biggest bill I've ever seen in my entire life.
But I couldn't believe it when I actually went to a wedding where there was a pay bar. I found it quite odd.
No, that's it,
a bit is,
odd.
It is.
It's okay to do wine.
Was there a turnstile when you went to
it? There was a turnstile. But to do wine and soft drinks.
But they didn't have the money. And I thought, well, you don't have the money. Why waste it on booze for your friend, all of you?
That's all it's about celebrating, isn't it? It's about celebration and having a glass to toast. How can you toast on a paid bar?
Better than just giving out raffle tickets. At the beginning, one drink free, and then right. Can we move on? We briefly talked about buying and women's penchant for getting clothes while men don't. If we have time, we might come back to that, Jill. But can we talk about Bruce Forsyth?
Yes.
And some of the things he said regarding reality competition television?
Well, Amanda Holden has blasted Sir Bruce Forsyth for saying children should be banned from appearing on Britain's Got Talent. I've got very mixed feelings on this. I mean, she has been completely blasted. But I'm going to tell you this. My daughter's a singer, and she actually went for it. And I didn't mind her going for it because I knew she, you know, she's in control of herself. She's mature enough. She's 14. The kids that have been going on, like, look at this girl, Holly Steele. How old was she? She was about, back in 2009. I reckon she was about 8. I mean, it was that's painful to watch. Someone who's 14 sort of has made up her mind. If she doesn't get through, I've always taught her, if you don't get through, there's always another time. And it just means it wasn't right. It wasn't the right time this time. Someone who's 8, they're not mature enough to understand. I'm not saying Rachel at 14 is mature, but she's a little bit more together. I agree that I believe that the Britain's Got Talent, they should move the children to a little bit more sympathetic. I think that they're too tough on them. And to see these kids cry, I mean, we've got on this week, did you see it this weekend?
No, it's but well, first weekend I haven't seen it, actually.
Well, there was a group of kids called preschool. They were brilliant. 8 to 13, they were brilliant. They stood on this stage waiting for the verdict, crying. It was painful. To see these kids crying, and they got through. But imagine if they didn't.
Yeah, but it's the parents know what the program is, and so do the kids.
You know what?
And you have to. You never get over it.
Here's the thing: I take a far more cynical view. Is these are Amanda Holden on one television channel, and Sir Bruce on another television channel, and obviously they're going to have a pop at each other because these are going to be rival shows. They're going for the same demographic.
Basically. Actually, you're right. They must be livid that Britain's Got Talent's got in the papers. They must be absolutely fuming about it.
But then again, he is talking from experience. I mean, he's been, you know, doing countless royal variety shows since the 50s.
Jill, there's a little bit of hypocrisy here. Not from you, Sir Brucey.
Yeah.
How did he start off life?
Entertaining. I think he
How
was out
did
the
he
womb.
Start off life? He was Bruce Forsyth, the little atom.
He really? Was too.
He was a child
right, yes.
entertainer. Yeah. So for him,
from what age was that?
Very, very
but
young.
But not through a competition.
No, not through a competition.
So that's the difference.
So here we go.
But it's a little bit hypocritical, don't you think?
But Russ, we don't want to see kids crying. I mean, that's nasty.
But they've seen these shows. They know exactly what they're getting into. They didn't land from Jupiter and suddenly the Simon Cowell machine says, "Ah, hello, Jupiter visitor, come in. I've got a great idea."
To balance and to set you both a question, isn't what this suggestion is, which is that young children can't take rejection. Mm. The same issue that so many people fought hugely against was schools who banned sports day because young children couldn't lose.
We
Doesn't
travel
it make
a lot
actually
sports.
Adults
yes.
of you.
I'll tell you something how bad this has gotten. I know I've mentioned this before, but I have no hesitation mentioning it again. We do a lot of school tours with our bands and our singers and our artists, right? So I see schools all over the country. We spend dozens and thousands of miles travelling around, right? And I speak to all these teachers. And this television culture of everybody's a star, everybody's fantastic, which they're not. Not everybody has talent. Not everyone can sing. Not everybody can dance. I can't do either. And then this permeates right the way through. And so when now children who really are not talented, suddenly, and the teacher has to say, well, put it in a very nice way, I don't think this is for you, really, maybe you should do maths or something else. Then the parents, and I've heard this all over the country from so many teachers, the parents come steaming in, furious, how dare you tell my little,
I can understand that because I think, Russ, we've probably been there, seen it, done it. Come on, we've probably got very, you know, defensive of our children, make sure that they get the best. But when I grew up, which was around I was born in the 70s, what was the shows, that the talent shows we had back then?
New Faces.
Thank you.
Opportunity Knocks.
Thank you. So why, we didn't see this happening where kids were breaking down on stage because they didn't get through.
No, of course
it was
not.
A little bit better managed, I think, back then. And I think that's what Bruce is saying. I think that is what he's saying.
But these shows only live... They're not producing great acts. Let's not be silly about it. They're not. They're not producing fantastic talent that's going to have really, really long careers.
It's an opportunity.
And what it is that these shows only live off the subtext of the drama, which is why I always rant on Twitter and Facebook, look, I don't care your bike got nicked when you were 8. Can you sing... Or can't you sing?
There's a definite story. I mean, I have learned this actually.
The backstory
is
the story.
Yes.
So when the great Tony Hatch, who I'm honoured to know through Variety, the children's charity, when the great Tony Hatch was known as the Hatchet Man when he was on New Faces, people thought he was like the cruelest But he was only telling.
Do you know what? I'll give another example as well. We care so much about animals and showing them on television in a cruel light. Why do we not care about these little kids that are going on? You know, we really care about seeing animals being, you know, like, let's say horses being whipped.
I would say because animals don't ask for it, children do. Children look at these. There was a very disturbing, you know, Vox Pop where reporters go out and ask people what they think of the future. And one of the questions was about their financial worries and things like the spare room subsidy and pensions and everything else. And one woman said, well, it doesn't matter to me because I'm going to be a celebrity, so I won't need to worry. And genuine thing. And you just think that is the issue. But they want that. Mm. And that's a profession.
Do they?
Now.
Or is the parent pushing them to want that? Living Maybe. A dream for the parent.
The number of parents who come up to us, if we're minding, I normally say I sell insurance because it just makes going to a social evening much more pleasant. Because otherwise.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
I sell insurance. I sell carpets. Or something. Because Better. Otherwise the parents say, oh, my daughters are fantastic. Oh, that's well lovely. Nice to meet you. Now, why can you met? No, I can't. Why? And then they get really like, I've never met, you know, and it's happened a lot more than once. And it's always the mother who gets really aerated that we won't suddenly invest a fortune in somebody we've never met just because they sing nicely at school.
We're going to come to I'm so sorry, I just got to you about that. We're going to come to insects in a second. I just want to read you a couple of quick texts. And then while I do that, if you put your headphones, because we're going to get some calls as well. Regarding Mark says, I'll have a free plate of creepy crawlies if it's going on the email. Alan says, regarding Chris Hume, because we were saying, would you welcome Chris Hume back into politics? He says, we've got enough crooks in the House of Commons without inviting the convicted ones back. Warren is there regarding children on TV. In where are you, Warren?
Where am I at the moment? Just coming down Hampstead Road.
Wonderful. So you're heading towards Warren Street?
I'm heading, your way, really.
Yeah, lovely.
Just a thought, saying that, you know, in the 70s when we had the talent shows, we had new faces and all of that, and it didn't seem to have the sort of pressures. But, you know, there was the likes of Bonnie Langford, and then you've got to say that Lena Zavaroni, she certainly suffered under the pressure, didn't she, eventually?
Very much so.
one or two faces here we sing every week. I mean, it's every week. I don't remember not seeing on this sort of show not one child crying.
Do you watch some of those shows with concern, Warren?
You know what? I don't watch them. Can't be bothered. But, I mean, I was just listening. I mean...
Have you got kids yourself?
Yeah, I've got three.
And what ages? Little test for you.
The youngest is 11. I've got a 16-year-old.
And, do they dream of being a star?
Well, the 11-year-old thinks she's 18, going around singing songs all the time. But, not really. She's not really, you know, she gets in the school plays and sings and those sort of things. But I don't think she's at a point where she thinks she's fantastically talented or anything like that. You know, she's not making moves to and having singing lessons and that, but you know, she enjoys doing the school play.
Are you with Bruce Forsyth when he says that children should be banned from shows like Britain's Got Talent? I mean, he was focusing on that, but let's expand it to other shows as well.
Look, I'm in agreement. I mean, the kids have done it all the time, haven't they? It's just that I think that the Britain's Got Talent, you know, with Opportunity Knocks and with New Faces and that, it was a studio audience as such, wasn't it? And now with Britain's Got Talent, it's a huge, great, you know, whether it's in the O2 Centre or wherever it's
a massive event.
Yeah.
And if you see some of the backlash on Twitter after that, I don't know if you've ever followed these things when they put the hashtag up, and I've started doing it. It's really annoying because you don't watch the programme, but some of the things that people say. Gosh, Warren, send them all our best, and thank you very much, Steve, for the call. Listen, just to finish off with, I don't think we're going to do insects. I want to just talk about bad grammar before we finish, Russ.
Yes, bad grammar. It's the thing that's... I'm going as quickly as I can. Oh, yes. It was the headline that really caught my eye, which was apostrophe now, which I thought was just very funny. Good, yeah. Bad grammar and the people who hate it. And its children are going to be subject to a rigorous examination in grammar. And why does it make adults so cross when other adults break the rules? Because I'm a sort of repentant for it, really. So there was the research, and they looked at 500,000 people, and NetSpeak and bad grammar, etc. And the biggest passion killers were you are, for your, you know, are, you, ya.
It's because we're texting, aren't we, all the time?
A lot of
have you seen how kids text today? I mean, they need to be taught how to... You're right. I mean, this is, I think, this is fabulous to do this. I mean, there's some... I've read some of my daughter's texts. I hope she's not listening. She's in bed.
She'll and I've read them. She's in bed. You're she's in. She's in the state. Who knows?
No, she's out.
No,
she's
but do you know what? I've read... They're so badly written. But they have to, because it's slang, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you know, they, sick. But that's what they learn. It's sick.
See?
Yeah.
Sick. S-I-C.
It's
like
sick. It's sick.
Yeah, at least we didn't have a conversation today about cool... with somebody.
No one said that's why. I said why, because cool. No one says that anymore. No, that's why you wouldn't have had
it. It's cool. So I texted back saying, this particular lady, I said, it's cool with a C. No, no, no. It's got to be cool with a K. I said, that's just illiterate.
But that's from the 80s, not now, surely.
No, no, no. Cool very young. Gang, very, no, really? No. Very young, very hip.
Comes back. Very hip comes person, back in fashion.
Extremely hip. Cool with the K.
I get frustrated with bad grammar. I use bad grammar myself, and sometimes I get confused. I the other day I couldn't work out whether which or that was the correct word to use in a sentence.
Yeah, but thank God we have, when we do our letters, we can have a little bit of help.
Yes,
just click a little
true.
Button and it's all
and
sorted.
It's all done all for done. Us. Listen, it's great to see you both. Good to meet you.
Thank
Jill.
You for having
Send
me.
My best to Philip.
I will.
It's good to see you, Russ.
Lovely to see you
May
too.
You have a very calm, comfortable, happy week, which I've never
That's
known you have
so
yet. But I hope it
not
one day will. As we always say before you go, when can we see or hear or read you? Read you next, you can Jill first.
Yes.
Read me.
Well, do you
Did
write?
You just
can
read?
We hear you? Can
oh,
we see you? Television?
Well, whenever you invite me back,
right.
You know, it's
okay.
I do mainly voiceovers at the
and
moment.
Can we follow you on Twitter?
Yes, at Jill Kenton.
Lovely, Russ
at Russell Kane.
And how are the Vanquish girls doing?
Everyone's doing lovely, thank you. Very nice. We were at Café de Paris on Friday. It went down a storm.
Wonderful venue, gosh.
Hmm?
I said, what a wonderful venue.
It was lovely there. Yeah. They looked after us well. Like a treat, they did. Very nice there.
I thoroughly recommend you follow both our guests.
Yes, absolutely.
If you don't want to
don't
get up, empathetically upset, don't follow Russ. Because I worry about him during the week.
Actually, you're not following me, Russ. You haven't followed me. I followed you.
Did I not?
No, he needs to
now
that.
They'll be around the car all the way
0207-224-2000 is our number. We'll take your calls after the news. We'll also talk some of your texts and emails as well. It's Simon Lederman, BBC London 94.9. 1 minute to midnight, and Valleyfontaine has the news headlines on the way next.